Now will you join me in reading God's good word together? This passage comes from Romans 8, 26 through 27. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. This is the word of the Lord. Be seated. Wow, you all look really good. I'm assuming all of you got up this morning and ran the marathon before you came to church. I'm going to keep assuming that unless you tell me otherwise. We're in our series called Finding Faith in a World of Doubt. This week we're talking about when prayers go unanswered. And in case we haven't met yet, my name is Robert Gorell, and I'm the teaching pastor here at Acts 2. The first thing I like to say about unanswered prayers is this. Struggling with unanswered prayers is what? Normal, right? We all do that. We all struggle with are my prayers being heard? Are things going the way that I need them to go? And we're going to talk about that this morning and kind of how that works in our faith. My first memories of prayer are with this guy, my dad. Can you see any resemblance there? Just a little bit? Yeah. Particularly now, he didn't have any hair then, I have a little now, so it's a lot closer now than it was even then. My dad worked a shift till midnight every night, and he would come home. There were six of us living in a one-bedroom house, and I slept on the couch. And he would come in every night, and sometimes I would wake up, and he would be there praying for me, praying out loud for me, with his hand on my shoulder, my arm. And it was an incredibly, incredibly wonderful experience. And I didn't really pay attention to what he was saying. I just loved being in his presence. And I struggle with that issue. Does God hear everyone's prayers? And I did that because of an experience I had. As soon as I was old enough to go with my dad to men's ministry, I grew up one of those families was at church like four times a week. And as soon as I was old enough to read, I got to go to men's ministry with my dad. So on Wednesday nights, we'd have worship. And then we'd have men's ministry. And since I was six and I could read, I got to go. Because what the men's ministry was in our church is the men would correspond to inmates all over the country. They would write them letters and encourage them and affirm them. They would receive their prayer request and they would pray for those prayer requests. My job was to write addresses on the envelopes and put stamps on the envelope. I know we have machines to do that now, but I was the machine back then, so that was my little job. And afterwards, my dad would take me, we would go to the Capitol Hill Ice Cream Company, and we'd have ice cream. And I was there one night, and I asked my dad, thinking about those prisoners, you know, in prison, I asked my dad, does God hear everybody's prayer? It was really an important question to me. Now, to be honest, I had an ulterior motive, because I had been praying for a puppy. I knew my granddad had a new litter of boxer puppies. I think I have a big wad of bubblegum in my cheek there. That's what that is. But I knew my granddad had these puppies, and I wanted one. I'd been praying for it, and no puppy had appeared. Sad, right? It was pretty sad. What I didn't know is puppies have to stay with their mom a while before they can, you know, go to their new home. So I was praying and praying for this puppy, and I had decided that there must be something wrong with me. I must have done something bad because God was not answering my prayer. But there we were on Wednesday nights, and we were lifting up the prayers of these inmates, guys who I assumed had done just awful, terrible things. We would gather at the end of the meeting, and we would lift up their prayer concerns and pray for them, pray that their prayers would be answered. So I asked my dad that question, does God hear everyone's prayers? My dad wasn't a theologian. He was a guy who worked on a freight dock. He dropped out of college to go serve his country in World War II. But to me, he was a pretty special theologian. And this is what my dad said. He said, "I believe God listens to everyone's prayers and answers every prayer." Now, that would have been enough for me, because that meant that I was getting a puppy at some point, at least in my mind, right? But like all parents, my dad had to explain it just a little bit more. He had a little bit more he wanted to say, and I'm really glad he did. I'm sure this was something he heard in a sermon somewhere, but coming from him, it was like hearing it from the Word of God. He said, "Sometimes God says yes, sometimes God says no, sometimes God says not yet, and sometimes we just don't get to know God's answer." Now, on the puppy front, that was a little bit disconcerting to me, because now I wasn't really sure if I was getting the puppy or not. I'd been real happy for a moment, but if God sometimes says no, or not yet, or sometimes we just don't get to know, then I was really starting to feel concerned about my chance of getting a puppy and my prayers being answered. My dad continued. My dad said, "I know God loves all of his children. He loves us even when we make mistakes. And because God loves us, God always listens to our prayers." Because God loves us all, God always listens to our prayers. Suddenly the puppy didn't seem that important. I knew that there was something there that was very special that my dad believed and was sharing with me. So I ate my ice cream and thought about a God who loves us even when we make mistakes, and a God who always listens to us. My dad said it with such conviction, I knew it was true. But as I went on, I became a teenager and went off to college, I continued to struggle with those issues. And I had those questions in my head, maybe you've had these too. Does God listen to everyone's prayer? Does God answer every prayer? What difference does praying make anyway? For the question, does God listen to everyone's prayer? That's a really important question to me, and one that, like I said, from childhood, I really struggled with. Does God listen? Does God hear us? Well, you heard Pastor Mark and Pastor Brandon say earlier in the series that doubt is not an enemy, but a portal to a deeper and more authentic faith. And I think that's really, really powerful and true. The experience of doubt for me caused me to dig deeper into my faith. Even though I grew up in a Christian family, I didn't accept Christ. I didn't become a Christian until I was in college. Then I became a Christian because of the campus ministry, the Methodist campus ministry at Oklahoma City University. That's where I became a Christian. And we were studying the Bible. Those first few weeks when I really gave my life to Christ, we were in a Bible study in the book of Romans, right? Nothing easy. We thought we were college students, so we needed to dig into the deep stuff. And we got to this one verse there in the study that really affected what I was thinking about prayer. You may have heard it before. It comes from Romans 10:13. "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Pastor Mark addressed this a little bit earlier in this series. And it sounds like at first, if you don't pray in a certain way, that God doesn't hear your prayer. In fact, I've even heard Christian pastors point to this verse and say that God only hears the prayers of Christians who pray in the name of Jesus, which is ironic because this is not a Christian prayer. Paul, as he's writing to the church of Rome, is quoting a Jewish prophet, Yoel, or as we Okies say, Joel, the prophet Joel from the Old Testament, right? He's quoting Joel, and Joel is writing in a time where virtually everybody has failed in their faith. They've done all kinds of horrible things. They don't have a relationship with God. Everything about them is just smashed on the rocks. Maybe you've been in that place in your life where you get up and you don't even know what you believe. And so Joel is saying, everyone in the broadest sense of the word, he's saying that all you have to do is cry out to God, and God is going to hear you. It doesn't matter your your denomination or your religion or your faith. You may just be a thief hanging on a cross and you cry out and Jesus is going to hear you. That's why we hear it. Acts 2, we say something that I think a lot of you know. Everyone means everyone, right? That's where that comes from, that passage in Romans, where Paul is quoting a Jewish prophet writing to a world of broken people. To call on the name of the Lord is used in the broadest sense. It means all of us, we can all turn to God for help. Paul quoting that Jewish prophet, where the prophet specifically invites us to cry out to God and to know that God will listen to us and show us mercy. I don't know about you, I don't want justice in my life. I want mercy. I'm depending on that. Now, in fact, this passage is so important in what Joel is saying here about God longing to connect and be in conversation and relationship with every person in the world, that when the day of Pentecost comes, what we typically call the birthday of the church, and St. Peter gets up and he preaches, and hundreds of people are baptized and become Christians, Peter also refers to this passage. Peter invites the whole world to know Jesus Christ. Then he says that the Spirit will touch all flesh. That means all flesh, everything, everyone who breathes, everyone with a heartbeat, is invited into a relationship with God. And God hears us, especially when we cry out in pain and in hurt. God doesn't check our church membership or see how many times we've been at worship or Sunday school that month. God just listens and hears and touches our hearts. So then I started to ask, does God answer every prayer? Like I said, we were in this Bible study in the book of Romans, and I was just a brand new Christian. I was really digging in, and the stuff was really kind of finding its way deep into a deep place in my heart. And we got to Romans 11, 3 through 4, and Paul again is writing to that church in Rome. And once again, he refers to an Old Testament prophet, a prophet named Elijah. And a story found in 1 Kings 19, 1 through 4. It's a text that, well, it's very sad. It says that, but he himself, Elijah, went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. And he asked that he might die. It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors. Now that's Elijah's prayer. He says, God, I'm in no better shape than the people over there lying in the graves. You might as well just go ahead and kill me. Elijah's had this triumphant moment. He's been on top of Mount Carmel, and he's faced off against the priest of Baal, and he's defeated them all, and he's won, and he's shown that his God is the God. And then he gets a message. He gets a message from a queen named Jezebel. And those priests he defeated, those were her priests. Those were her people. And she tells Elijah, I'm coming for you. And he knows her reputation. He knows that she's going to torture him. It's going to be a horrible, awful death. So he runs away. And he runs and he runs and he runs till he's in the wilderness. And he's all by himself under this one single little tree in the desert. He says, God, here's my prayer. I pray that you would just kill me, at least make it quick. And God doesn't answer the prayer. Not in the way Elijah wants. God hears Elijah. And God has an answer for Elijah. But it's not the answer that Elijah wants. There's a beautiful wordplay in the original story that you find in 1 Kings where Jezebel's messenger is a malak, which is just a word that means a messenger with a purpose. And that messenger's purpose is to tell Elijah that the queen is sending the guys out to kill you. And now another malak comes, another messenger with a purpose. And this messenger is from God. This messenger, this Malak is from God. And this messenger comes and says, Elijah, this is not the end of your story. This is just the beginning of a new chapter. Things are going to change and wonderful things are going to happen. And God is going to use you in a wonderful and an incredible, powerful way. Yes, God answers our prayers. But not always the way we want them to. And the story here that Paul is reminding us of, the story of Elijah, causes us to ask, which voices are we going to listen to? Which messengers are we going to hear? When we're in those hurting, broken places of our lives, when we're out in the desert and we're under that old broom tree, and we feel all alone. And there are messages that say, this is the end, it's hopeless, there's no chance for you. Those messages are not from God. It's the message that comes to us and says, this is just the end of one chapter for you, and a new chapter is beginning. And God has wonderful things in store for you. The lesson I take from the story of Elijah that Paul shared with those new Christians in Rome was this. God hears every prayer and answers that prayer in the way that does the most good. Now, I have to qualify that. We may not always see the good, right? We don't always see the big picture. God is working in incredible, powerful, and even cosmic ways. And we tend to look at things just through our part of the story, just through our own life. But there's something greater and bigger at work. And God, because of who God is, because we can trust that God is good, God is always working to bring about the most good. When we pray and we offer our prayers to God, and I don't know about you, but I offer my agenda to God. God, these are the 10 things you need to get done today. Not a great prayer, but I've gone with it a lot, so I'm really good at it, right? Sometimes God says, I got something better than that. It's hard for me to see it, but God is answering my prayer. So what is prayer, right? What is it exactly then? If prayer is not about me just giving a to-do list to God, then what is it? Remember how my dad said God answers prayer, right? Sometimes God says yes. Sometimes God says no. Sometimes God says not yet. And sometimes we don't get to know God's answer. I want to add something else to that. I want us to understand that prayer is about relationship. In my relationship with my wife, if all I do is tell her what to do, don't say anything, don't even move your head, right? Not much of a relationship. Right? I've got to also listen. I've got to be present. Sometimes we just need to sit in the room quietly together. And you think about the text that we read as we started out today. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our, what? Weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we ought. Nobody prays perfectly. And that's okay. But the very Spirit intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit. Because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So one, prayer is conversation. Prayer is about not only sharing with God our needs and our wants, but it's also about listening to God. It's also about allowing God to lead us and guide us. It's about taking time to be in a place spiritually where we can hear God. We prepare ourselves through worship, through Bible study, through taking devotional time every day, but putting ourselves in a place to listen and to hear. And here's the great word of grace in all of that. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. That's what Paul wrote to the new Christians in Rome. We don't have to be perfect. In fact, trying to be perfect usually leads us astray. We just have to trust the Spirit. We just do the best we can, and the Spirit intercedes and converts our struggling words into something powerful and holy that touches the heart of God. In a few minutes, the band is going to play a song that's really important to Prudy and me. It's called Be Still by a group called The Fray. When the guy, Joe Isaacs, was writing this song, he said he just woke up in the middle of the night. He was worried about his little brother. His little brother was in some trouble, and the song just came to him. He really didn't write it. It just was in his head all of a sudden. He went in the studio the next day, and he wanted to play it for the band, see, you know, what they thought, if they would like maybe to work on the song. And somebody flipped on a recorder, and he just was playing through it for the very first time. And he got to the end of the song, and he said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I made some mistakes in the piano part. We'll do it over. Let me show you a better. I'll do it better the next time." And the guys, the band said, "Don't change anything. It's perfect. It's absolutely perfect." They didn't add guitars, bass, drums, or anything. They said, "That's it. Just put that on the record the way it is." And it's about a lot of things in the Bible, but it's particularly about that moment in Exodus 14, 13, when the children of Israel are backed up. They fled from the Egyptians, and they're backed up against the Red Sea, and they don't see any way that they're going to get out of it, and the Egyptian army is about to wipe them out. And Moses, God gives him a word, and Moses stands up and says to them, "Just be still. Just be still and see what God can do." When they finally get quiet, the seas part and they're delivered. In our weakest places, in those times when we feel like there's no way forward, be still, and the Holy Spirit intercedes with God for us, and the path is made. And we have a way forward. Finally, prayer leads us to ministry. It took me a long time to understand that prayer was not just about me, right? There are times I've got to pray for me every day, in fact, but it's about more than that. It's about inviting God to lead me to the places where I can be a partner with God in God's mission in the world. There's an old Latin phrase that the Benedictines came up with, ora et labora, which is Latin for pray and work. The Methodists in Africa took that and kind of enhanced it a little bit. For the original monks, it was just, we got to get out of just sitting here praying all day long. We got to get out and actually do something. And the African Methodists took that and said, no, we don't just have to do something. We have to pray, and then we have to go out and do God's ministry in the world. It means we should pray. But not only pray, we should pray to be used by God. We should pray to be the answer to the prayers and needs of other people. That's what prayer is. It's not just listening, but it's listening with a purpose to see where God wants us to go, what God wants us to do with our life. I had this guy in a church I love so much. He was a great guy. His name was Jerry. And Jerry is one of those, you know, men's men. He was a cabinet maker. He could go into a nasty old kitchen and completely redo it. And when you looked at it, it was just like a work of art. It was amazing what he could do with wood. And he was an outdoorsy guy. He liked to go fishing and hunting, climb mountains, hike in all sorts of exotic places. He was just an amazing guy. And then he was in a terrible, terrible accident that left him paralyzed from the waist down. It also left him with a hole in his spirit. And he became bitter and angry. And this guy that used to pick me up and take me out for lunch or go out and get a Coke or something, it was just such a joy, became this guy that would call me up, and he would use the pastor sort of as a place to be angry with God. And he would just tell me all the things that were wrong with religion and faith. And he would say things like, you know, "I prayed 1,000 times to be healed, Pastor, and God never listens to me. There's no God. There's no God listening to our prayers." And this went on for weeks. He would just call me up 3 or 4 times a week and just unload. And I tried to be sympathetic. I mean, the guy was going through so much. And one day he called and he said, "Pastor Robert, I need you to pray for me." It's really wild. It just came out of left field. I said, "What's going on, Jerry?" He said, My wife's finally got tired of my attitude, and she moved out. So I got nothing. I got nowhere to go. I don't know what's going to happen to me. I got nothing left but prayer. I thought about it for a long, hard minute, and I said, "Jerry, the way you've been praying hadn't been working. Why don't we try something different?" He said, "What do you mean, Pastor?" I said, why don't we just pray that God will show you what you need to do with your life? As opposed to you telling God what to do, let's just pray and listen and invite God to lead you to what you need to do with your life." He was pretty pessimistic, and he would call, though. He didn't have anything else to do. He would call, and we would say those words, "God, what do you want Jerry to do with his life?" And we would just listen. And there were lots of long, awkward silences where nothing happened. Literally to the point, after a couple of weeks, I said, "Jerry, I don't think this is working." And he said, "Pastor, I think something's happening. Let's keep praying this prayer." And we continued to pray that prayer. And one day, Jerry called me up, and he was so excited. He said, "Pastor, I woke up this morning, and I don't know why, I just felt like I should call my mom in the nursing home. I hardly ever call her, maybe once every couple of months. She's there all by herself, and when I do call her, I literally talk like 2 minutes. He said, "Today I called my mom, and we talked for like 3 hours. He said, "I think that God wanted me to call my mom. I think that was what my prayer was about." A couple days later, Jerry called and said, "Pastor," he said, "I was talking to my mom again, about 2.5 hours this time, and I found out that there's some people I know in the nursing home, some of her friends that I grew up with, and nobody ever calls them or talks to them. And so I called them too. And I encouraged them, and I affirmed them, and I listened to them, and I heard everything that's going on in their lives. And I think God might be calling me to do this." And Jerry's life just turned around. And he realized that the prayer was about him receiving and being directed and guided by God. His wife moved back home and became a part of his ministry, and he changed so many lives from a wheelchair. He was part of God's mission in the world. He was the answer to unanswered prayers. Jeremy said this: "God is talking to us all the time, through the people around us, through the Bible, in worship, in music, and even in nature. Prayer is really just about taking the time to listen." It's an incredible and powerful statement. So is your action step this week. I'd invite you to try something. I invite you to keep a prayer journal if you've never done that. It's really, really a wonderful thing. You can do it on your phone. You can do a little notebook. And just every day, write down what you pray about, what you feel about it. But I didn't ask you to try for a month. Just write this question down every day and invite God to answer it for you. What do you want me to do with my life, God? What do you want me to do? And then write down anything that comes to you. I think you may find it to be a life-changing experience. Parents, it's something you can do with your kids as well. Now let's pray the prayer that Jesus taught us together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.